I want us to quickly look at something in the scripture that concerns all of us. A sermon I titled God's Covenant. Sorry, there is something I had wanted to ask. Is there any sister that has been praying and all you were reminding God was, you were telling him that, God, remember your covenant with me. Remember your covenant in my life. Fulfill your covenant in my life. Is there anybody that was raising the voice unto the Lord like that this week? Even yesterday night, that was all you were telling God? Remember your covenant with me. Remember your covenant with me, sister. You, even last night, yesterday morning, even this morning, even this morning too, you were telling him, God. And the reason why you were saying that is because the battles you've been facing is as if it is increasing instead of stopping.
Yes, sir.
As if it is increasing instead of stopping. Okay. Hallelujah. Praise Master Jesus. I asked that question because that was the topic the Lord gave me. But while we were worshiping, the Lord opened my ears in the spirit and I was hearing a sister. It was a female voice that was saying, God, your promises. Why now? But remember, you promised me this. Remember your covenant in my life. Then while that was happening, a bull appeared in the spirit and was going after that person. That was when I knew that the battles increased. Amen. Praise Master Jesus. And the Lord God Almighty. Of course, not only you. I know most of us, at one time or the other, we might have reminded God of. We might have told God, Lord, remember your covenant with me. Am I right? Am I right? At one time or the other. Praise Master Jesus. God's covenant. Somebody say, God's covenant. And I pray that somebody will get the picture of this. Somebody say, shout it again. Say, God's covenant. Let's open our Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Sister, I want you also to listen carefully. Because if you've been reminding him and you've been telling him, Lord, your covenant, let us understand what it is. But the truth is that he is a covenant keeping God. He is faithful. There is no faithlessness in God. He does not disappoint. The Bible said that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is not a man that he should lie. The words that he releases, we cannot return to him for it. He sends it forth with a purpose, and that purpose must be accomplished. Now, the reason why I'm saying this is so that somebody will begin to create a mental picture of who this God that you have decided to serve is. Praise Master Jesus. He doesn't fail. God does not fail. He is God. He is a God that operates in a timeless realm. He is not bound by time, just like we humans. He doesn't age. His brain doesn't ever go dull. He's not forgetful. He does not lose his memory. If he makes a promise, that promise remains intact. I want you to catch that picture of who he is. Brethren, let me be very sincere with us. Do you know that recently there are people that are emerging and they have had the opportunity to catch some other people around, and they come up with these statements that Christianity is actually mental slavery. And some people believe it. And some people, you know, there is this campaign by some group of people that will tell you, let's go back to our roots. That the white men came and sold their own religion so that they will use it to enslave us, so that we will forever bow to them. And then they took away our own gods. You know why I said this is, I met one of them. Immediately we closed from vigil here on Saturday morning. From here, immediately I drove down to the filling station. That's what Nigeria has turned us to. You know, at times we go to the filling station 3 a.m. to go and queue up. The other day, I went to the filling station 3 a.m. When I woke up, I didn't want to wake my wife. I just texted her, say, I'm going to buy fuel. When I got to the filling station, I saw 10 vehicles already lined up there. I went to wake them. I said, I know they sleep. Then too, they asked me, you know they sleep. So the next day, that filling station at Apple Junction. So the next day, I wanted to go there. I now decided to go there by 2:30. I said, today, let me see. As we una get sense pass. I woke up 2 o'clock, just quickly ran. I wore my clothes. By the time I got there, 2:30, people were already there, about 7 vehicles. I said, Jesus, una no dey sleep. That's what Nigeria has turned us to. Praise Master Jesus. Anyway, so this Saturday, when I got there, immediately we closed. I started zooming to the filling station so that I can line up and buy my fuel on time. Because that place, their fuel is cheap, 184. When I got there, I met one man. Interestingly, the man, we started talking. You know, when we get there, when you get to the filling station and you are queuing up, you start making friends that you never knew. We became friends. Some we buy water, we were sharing, and then the man came up with this same thing I'm trying to tell us, that Christianity is a scam. I stood, I was listening. He said, forget that book, Bible. Say that thing, just some archaic stories. In fact, that was because we've been discussing politics since everything has been going on well. He now entered my own lane. Instead of him to maintain his lane, he entered my lane. I was just telling myself, calm down, calm down. The man continued again. The man had to even say that, oh, let's forget the Ten Commandments, that the Ten Commandments were gotten. There's this thing that they teach, that the Ten Commandments was gotten by the 42 something, something, something of Egypt. That since Moses was there, he copied it. If you go to the internet and type it, you will see the 42 something, I've forgotten the name, of Egypt. So that was where we got talking. And then we began to talk. We thank God for the end time message. Somebody, can we clap our hands for this Jesus? We thank God for the end time message. And I am really blessed that God brought me to the Bright Assembly Church to also learn from a man like Pastor Moses Alu. May God bless him also. Hallelujah. Because I believe God also knew the hunger in our soul, what we were hungry for, and he directed us to the right place where we will feel that hunger. Praise Jesus. And not just that, he took us and made us to walk in a more dead way, just like the end time messages. Message churches are completely dead. I'm sorry to say that, you know. But God helped us and caused us to walk on the right path. We are traveling on the right road. We are traveling on the right way. There is one way to the city of God. I am traveling on the right road. Study to make yourself approved unto God. Don't just come to a place and then you decide only to come and pray and run and go home. Don't just come, and when they are saying, you say, hey, it's true, it's true. Don't just come to a place and then, don't just worship a God you are not interested to know more about. Don't do it. Because you will one day find yourself before somebody and then you'll be messed up. But I just glorify the name of the Lord. You know, because at the time, this young man began to talk and was trying to rubbish the scripture. And then he wanted to tell us, everybody gathered. The moment I saw that, he caught the attention of so many people in that place. I say, evangelism don't set. I say, today we die here. Evangelism. When he was going, the moment he entered and say, that Constantine is the one that actually formed Christianity of this modern day. I say, Ogana lie. He said, what do you know? He wanted to, when he was narrating the history, I calmed down. When he finished, the man not a great person talk. One person says, sorry, I will be the moderator. I say, thank you, moderators today, because this man not go agree me talk. When he finished, to the glory of God, I also helped him to tell him about Constantine. I asked, sorry, do you know the year that meeting was held in Nicaea? Do you know the year? No. When I dropped the year, he said, wait, on a true. But the truth is that stylishly, we use the opportunity to drop some certain things. Move down till Martin Luther. And I believe that I got some converts that day. Praise Master Jesus. When the man was still trying to rubbish the scripture, I was saying, God, what will I do now? This man is rubbishing the scripture. I enter testimony. You are telling me not to believe a book, because you quote Apostle Paul, you go say, I beg Apostle Paul, a human being, something when he just write. I say, okay, that thing that Apostle Paul said, I applied it and it worked for me. See the miracle way it happened. I experienced the miracle in my house, number one. I talk number two miracle. Number three, should I continue? Then say, true, that your God, they real. Before people began to join me. Now, why did I decide to praise the Lord? Why did I decide to go this way? Because when we entered to buy fuel, some other people came again and met me and said, sir, that thing you were saying there. One of them said, I talk and this man, a pastor. You see this man where they talk here, a pastor. I said, must I be a pastor? I had to wear my allergy cap and say, don't I look like an allergy? Praise Master Jesus. Amen. But this is it. One of them came and sat down and wanted to understand more. Because the man was trying to say, but we were supposed to worship our forefathers now. Worship with our forefathers, stone and all that. What that man was saying actually made sense. But by the time we finished and we began to narrate some things, I think, yes, the man collected my number, that he will love to know more of these things. At least I was happy somebody collected my number that wanted to know more of these things. Praise Master Jesus. But why I decided to go this way, I decided to narrate these things. I have met most of them on the internet. Some of them are my friends that I've known for long. I decided not to argue again with them, but I met this one physically. Then when I went back home, I think I told my wife. I began to narrate to her. I told her, we are blessed though. We are blessed though. Not just that there are some people, because a man joined me to tell that man what you are saying is wrong. But not just that we believe in the Bible, not just that we believe in the reality of this world. That man was sincere with what he was saying. He's been deceived. He's been cajoled. You need a deceiver before you can be deceived, there must be a deceiver that will deceive you. The man has been deceived. He doesn't believe in the authenticity of the scripture, of the Bible. He doesn't believe it is real. Then look at you. Do you just believed it like that? You believed it. Do you know that it was not by your own doing? It is because God chose it. That is why the same thing that is happening to that man is the same thing that happened to the Jews when Jesus was with them and he spoke to them and he will speak in parable. And then the disciples will go and ask him, Lord, why is it that after you say this thing, you will come and explain it to us? He said, it is not given unto them to know the mystery of the kingdom, but unto you it is given. It is given. It is a privilege that you should begin to appreciate the name of the Lord. Praise Master Jesus. That man, no matter, unless the Holy Ghost comes and interprets it to him. Because he will say, the next thing he will say, you that is saying this thing, the Bible said that your Bible says only 144,000 that will go to heaven. Is your name there? I said, where will I even start to explain? You don't even know the elementary one. I don't know where to start, self, to explain, self. I just tire. But you know it. The reason is because God has chosen to grant you understanding. If you were not ordained to understand it, you will never believe it. You will never. We are blessed. We are blessed. I remember some of my old friends, they will say, thank God though. I think I've said this time without number. I say, all these people that they say, all these Christianity, thank God they cannot deceive me. Me, they know if it's scam me, oh, I don't too wise. When one of them told me that, I said, instead of you to be crying, you are rejoicing. Instead of you to be telling God, God, why is it that I cannot believe your word, you are rejoicing that I don't believe it. Instead of you to be weeping. Because the Bible said, when when Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, he said, and I will give you rest. He now said that no man can come unto me except the Father draws that person. I say, instead of you to be asking Jesus, why is it that you didn't draw me? You are rejoicing. Somebody clap your hands for this Jesus, for drawing us unto himself. Praise the Lord. You know, the reason why I decided to, I just wanted somebody to know that you are blessed. You are mightily blessed. Praise God. God's covenant. And the reason why you are blessed is because his covenant is with you. And when God decides to release his covenant, it is not because you choose to have a covenant with him. It is he that chose you. It is he that ordained that it will be so. By his foreknowledge, he predestinated you that his covenant will be with you or be upon you. Praise Master Jesus. So, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1 to 9. Let's see it. So that you will know that God is a God that keeps his covenant. Deuteronomy, dethrone your enemy, chapter 7. When the Lord thy God bring thee. This he was telling the children of Israel, but I also want someone to apply it to himself. Yes, sister, that you were asking God, what of your covenant? Apply it to yourself. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hast cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. If you apply it to your own day. For they will turn away thy son from following me, and they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and this, and destroy thee suddenly. Verse 5. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars and break down their images. When the Lord will take you into that land, it is also synonymous, or you can compare it to he, God, breaking you out of whatever form of life you've been, breaking you out of sin, separating you from the world and separating you unto himself. If you want to liken it to yourself, but I'm going to somewhere. Say, but thus shall you deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Somebody, have God not chosen you to be a special person? Has he not chosen you? The Lord did not set his The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. It is not because of any good thing seen in you. It's not because you were more holy than any other person. It is not because of any special thing that was in you. For ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, that is just the reason. And because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers. Had the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And you know what we like in Egypt. What Egypt is likened unto also, you know that. But this is my emphasis. Now look at this. Know ye therefore, listen to me, you that is asking God questions. Oh God, why have you not kept your promises? Jesus, remember your promises unto me. Child of God, know ye therefore that the Lord thy God, he is. Repeat it, he is what? I just explained to you who this God is before I decide to give you some narrations of some things I experienced. Know ye therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Leave that scripture again, verse 9. Leave that verse 9 again. I want you to look at this carefully. Underline it in your Bible. He is a covenant keeping God, child of God. Praise Master Jesus. But you would have to understand something, that when you come to covenant, it is two-sided. He gives it to you freely, but there is also an act, there is also a step you take for that covenant to be sealed. And everything is here in verse 9. He said, know you therefore, the covenant is an unconditional covenant though. You didn't ask for it though. Eh? Even though there is a step you are supposed to take, does not mean that there is anything you are meant to do to ignite it. It is only there. You are only meant to reciprocate. You are only meant to present yourself in a manner that shows gratitude. You are only meant to appreciate that covenant keeping God. That is all he needs. All he wants as your own part of the bid, as your own part of this covenant, is that you appreciate that which he has done. Verse 9, let's see it. And the only thing he demands is, know you therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments. With them that do what? That love him. It means that you are meant to reciprocate. That is why the Bible made a statement. That is why the Bible made a statement when Christ was asked, he said, which is the greatest of all commandments? The commandment given to you was not given to you as what you are meant to do to receive the promises of God. No. It wasn't a prerequisite. It was not meant to precede that which God will do for you. When the Lord Jesus Christ said, when he was trying to give answer to what the greatest commandment is, he said, for thou shalt love. That is what the Lord was trying to say there. That is all he needs from us. When he said, for thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might, everything, all your being, everything that is within you. And then the second is just as it is. You should love your neighbor as yourself. If you truly would love God with all of your heart, then automatically you would begin to love your neighbor. Praise the Lord. That is all he demands. And you received that thing to do. It is only after he has done that which he is meant to do for you. Because you didn't know him. He drew you. So that is why you will hear prayers like, God, help me to reciprocate this love that you have shown unto me. Cause me to love you the way you loved me. That is the prayer of a believer. Lord, cause me to love you the way you love me. That if you can pray that prayer and pray it, because it is there you are meant to abide by it. Praise Master Jesus. Praise Master Jesus. Hallelujah. That is it. But there is something you would have to understand. For you to assess the promises of God and allow it to function positively in your life, you truly need to understand what it means by God placing his covenant or having covenant with you. Praise Master Jesus. At times when you speak of God's covenant, some people tend to see it as, hey, covenant, covenant. Praise Master Jesus. Praise Master Jesus. He is truly a covenant-keeping God. He's a covenant-keeping God. But remember, when you don't understand how his covenant functions, the Bible said my people are destroyed for lack of what? For lack of knowledge. A songwriter wrote, he said, you are a covenant-keeping God. 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 Another person said, covenant-keeping God. There is no one like you. Alpha and Omega, Jesus,
there is no one like you.
Hallelujah.
Covenant keeping God,
there is no one like you. Alpha and Omega, there is no one like you. No matter how short I will try to make this message, the emphasis is that I want somebody to come to a point whereby you see that God makes promises and God gives his promises, and you need to understand what his promises for you are for you to be able to assess it. Praise Master Jesus. Another songwriter said, he said, you are who you are yesterday, today and forevermore. That is whom he is. What you say is what you do. Did you hear it? You never fail. You never change. You are faithful till the end. Faithful God, I worship you. Giving him gratitude. I worship you. Then he went further to make another strong statement. You are too faithful to fail me. If this song does not speak to you, what will speak to you again?
You are too faithful to disappoint me. You've proven yourself in my life, and I've come to realize you're too faithful to fail me.
He's too faithful to fail. Now look at, do you know that when a witch comes to cast a spell or someone or enter a covenant, or maybe your forefathers, we've been praying against foundational powers, or foundation powers, right? And the reason why some of these powers in people's foundation haunt them and even haunt till the 10th generation is because we know that there is a covenant that has been made by your forefathers. Praise Master Jesus. Maybe you are thinking the covenant is that blood that was poured. No. Before that blood was shed, before they poured that blood on the floor, or before they killed a human being to enact that covenant, there was a statement that was made. Please, somebody, follow me carefully. Just follow me carefully. There was a statement that was made before that blood was shed. That blood of an animal was shed before that deity decided to hold on to it and walk in that family. Praise Master Jesus. Now, let's look at some accounts in the scripture. There is a covenant that God made with Noah. You know, to start with, if we look at this, what even is a covenant? You know, I want somebody to catch this. You know why I'm trying to take this? So I will break it to the simplest form so you'll be able to hold on to the promises of God. What is a covenant? When you say covenant, covenant, some people, the moment you say covenant, blood don't enter some people's head. Ah, covenant, blood. You start thinking of blood. Covenant, hey, blood, oh, blood. A covenant is simply a binding agreement. A covenant is a formal, a solemn, or a binding agreement between two people. Remember, a binding agreement. That is just what a covenant is. I don't know if somebody is catching something now. It's a binding agreement. And then the Bible is telling you in Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 9 that your God is a God that keeps his covenant. It means he doesn't break his agreements. If you catch that and you hold on to it, ha! If that is the only thing you will catch in what I'm trying to say now. Are you following me? Now look at what God did. Let me be very fast now. Let's look at Genesis chapter 9. I'll read very fast from verse 1 to 17. 17 probably being my emphasis. And God blessed Noah. If you read the stories, you will see when they came out of the ark and other things. Let me not go there. He said, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. The same thing he said to Adam. Say, and the fear of you. What is God doing now? What is God doing now? God is making some statements. Are you catching something? God is busy making some statements. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the earth, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Verse 3, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as a green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it. And at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God, man is man. In the image of God he made. And you, be ye fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, now begin to listen carefully from here. Begin to listen carefully from here. What did God do? What did God do? God did what? He said, right? What did he do again? He said, and now watch what he said from verse 9. And I behold, and God, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you. Not just with their seed, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you. From all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off anymore by the waters of the flood. Neither shall there anymore be a flood to destroy it. So what is the covenant? He said he will establish his covenant. And what will happen? Go back to verse 11. He will establish. He has blessed them. He has spoken so many things. Then he said again, what will he do? I will establish my covenant with you. And what did he say? Neither shall all flesh be cut off anymore by the waters of the flood. Neither shall anymore be a flood to destroy the earth. So what is the covenant? That is the covenant, oh. Praise Master Jesus. Praise Master Jesus. Can I just ask somebody? Okay, let me not go there. Generally, if I ask, what is the covenant that God gave Noah? What would have been the general statement? Eh? He will no more destroy the earth with flood. God bless you, man. But do you know that generally, when you ask someone that what is the covenant that God made with Noah? Let's continue. Verse 13. Okay, verse 12. And God said, this is the token. This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generation. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. But generally, if you ask someone what is the covenant that God had with Noah, what will they say? They will say it is rainbow. Am I right? If I'm right, say yes, I'm right. They will say it's a rainbow, right? But what is the Bible saying here? Mommy, let us hear again from you. What actually is the covenant?
The covenant is that God promised Noah that he will never destroy the earth with water or flood again.
Hallelujah. That is the covenant, though. The covenant is that I will not destroy the earth again with water, with flood. So are you saying that the rainbow is not the covenant, or the rainbow has nothing? No, that is not what I am saying. So let's go again to verse 12. Listen, I made a statement. I said, when you catch this, you will live your life triumphantly on earth. Praise Master Jesus. Let me go back to what I was saying. When that demon met somebody's forefather, okay, you just went to your village the other time, gallantly. You did not look for anybody to go with you. As a rugged soldier of the cross, you went there on your own, sir. And you destroyed those demons. You called the villagers. That was a very bold step. You called the villagers. You gave that testimony because God directed you to do so. And you spoke. And God has already started doing something in that village, right? Now, that covenant, that foundational power that began to work against the people of that land. Sorry, was there anything that was killed? Was any human being killed? Was any animal killed? Did you ask questions?
They said that a stranger they killed, and the blood is working against the covenant.
A stranger they killed, and the blood began to work against the people. Praise Master Jesus. Some people, they will say the forefathers brought in some deities. What actually was working against the people before that stranger will die? That stranger made a statement.
Yes, sir.
That stranger laid a curse on the land.
Yes, sir.
Did they say so?
Yes, sir.
They said the stranger cursed the land.
Yes, sir.
The foundational curse following the land is not the blood that was dropped on the ground. The blood, if you hear that the blood of the stranger is speaking against the land, the blood of the stranger is only the same thing, is the same thing as that rainbow. Let's read it again so that you will understand something. Let's go. And God said, this is the token. of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generation. What is the token? The token is in verse 13. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token. What is a token? This is the definition. A token is a thing serving as a visible or tangible representation of a fact. A token is like when there is an agreement. A token is the same thing as a seal. If two of us have an agreement now, and we say there are 40 feet, we brought in 40 feet container, and in that container we'll share, how much, how many are we going to share it?
20.
Wow, go share on 20. So it's always.
It's 40 containers.
40. What? No. In 100%, how many are you going to take share?
50.
Wow, go share on 50. I know Thor pass you. I'm taller than you now. But we'll bring container, we'll not be sharing it. Praise the Lord. Okay, now.
Our agreement.
Okay, according to our agreement, he wants us to share it 50-50. Now, for that agreement to be tenable, for that agreement to be legal, there must be a stamp or we will sign. Do you understand? That signature there is not the agreement. The agreement is what we decided upon, that it will be 50-50. The signature is only a token of that agreement. Praise Master Jesus. You have to catch that. So when you begin to say, oh God, your covenant with me, oh, your covenant with me. Praise God. We are going to somewhere. So what actually happened is, the statement that young man, that cause he released with his mouth, is actually the thing affecting the land. But his blood is an evidence of that thing, that calamity that happened. He sealed it up. When that witch casts a spell and kills an animal, when he drops it, it becomes a token. Or because before that thing will begin, he will not just come say, then carry fowl and cut the neck of the fowl, and then drop the blood on the ground, and they say, nothing will happen. After dropping it, the demon too will come to your place and be doing, because he didn't say anything. The man will release a curse. After releasing it, he will kill that blood will stand as a sign, a signature to that which he has said. Praise Master Jesus. Praise the Lord. So that was at the covenant God made with Noah. It was what he said. He said he was not going to destroy it. And then let's continue. And I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and thee. Verse 14. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant. Did you see now? When the bow appears, it is binding that agreement. And he will now remember his covenant. His covenant is his promise. So in simple form, the covenant of God upon your life is his promises unto you. First of all, as an individual, but generally as believers, there is a covenant we have. There is the covenant of God, and there are covenants God make with you. So if we say it is a promise, there is a promise of God, even though he can give you individual promises. Praise Master Jesus. Let's continue with that scripture, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, and that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. Verse 17. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant. That bow is the token which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. Praise Master Jesus. There is another person God gave enacted a covenant with. Severally, you see, Catch it. When we say it, we believe somebody understands. When I stand and I say that David stood before Goliath, what did David say? David said, "Who art thou, an uncircumcised Philistine, to defy the army of the living God?" He was referring to covenant. But is circumcision the covenant? Let's look at it. Genesis chapter 15. Let's read from verse 1. Let me make it very fast. Is circumcision the covenant? After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Did you hear that? Now listen. So you are already following now. It means the covenant is actually the promises made. Now, God is already striking a covenant with Abraham now. Praise the Lord. And Abraham said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus." And Abraham said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thy heir." And he brought him forth abroad and said, "Look now towards heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them." God is now entering a covenant with Abraham. God is now giving him some promises. And remember, who is he? He's a God that does not. He's a God that keeps his covenant. And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for what? For righteousness. Abraham did something. He believed in that God that was giving him that covenant. He reciprocated to that which God was telling him. And he said unto him, "I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it." Verse 8. And he said, "Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it?" Abraham must be an Igbo man. He asks again, "Convince me, give me evidence." Forget that in evidence. And he said unto him, "Take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." And he took them, and he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcass, Abraham drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and lo, and horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abraham, that's God, "Know of a surety," God is still confirming this covenant, "that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Somebody, God knows the way through the wilderness. He knows the end from the beginning. That is the God you are serving. He knows the way through the wilderness. And there is this song that said, "God knows the way through the wilderness. All you need to do is to follow him." There's a song that said that. He said, "He knows the way through the wilderness. All you need to do is to follow him." All you need to do is to follow him.
The Lord knows the way to the wilderness. All you need to do is to follow him.
He knows the way through the wilderness, child of God.